There's a reaction around the world to President Biden's announcement yesterday, and let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, what has the reaction been there?
Bob, well, good afternoon. Things keep getting more interesting, of course, and as I've said before, when there's any sort of major such event around the world, Ukrainians are a bit, already used to a bizarre life here in the wartime, and so there's a bit of a shrugging of the shoulders and saying, all right, keep your seatbelts buckled and see what happens next. I think one of the big questions is, there's a lot of focus for people that who support Ukraine, whether or not they're Ukrainians, but especially Americans. There's a big focus on the staff of the president, whoever is president, who are his or her main advisors, and who will be directing Ukraine policy. And it's well known that Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor, who's been with Biden since Biden was vice president and has been mentored by the Obamas and the Clintons, has been directing Ukraine policy. And there's, a lot of the criticism of the slow roll of weapons to Ukraine and the lack of permission for Ukraine to hit Russian military bases is usually directed not toward the president himself, but toward Jake Sullivan. Whether or not that's fair, I think, is probably something that needs to be explored further. But as we look at this, to add to the sort of the bizarre events of our times, on Friday, there was this major, I don't know how much it affected people in the U.S., but the major global internet or global IT outage. Mm-hmm. And it was due to a bug in the cybersecurity software from an Austin-based Texas company called CrowdStrike. And what's really weird about this, and just kind of in a comical way, and one thing I've noticed in Ukraine the past weeks especially, people just sort of laugh spontaneously with a little bit of humor, but also a sense of almost on the edge of despondency, but not quite, kind of a wry sense of laughter. And what happened on Friday with this outage, also on that day, Trump and Zelensky had a phone call. And the last time, as far as I know, the last time the two of them had a phone call was about 5 years ago from this week, July 25th, 2019. And that was, of course, the phone call that led to the first impeachment of then-President Trump. And in that phone call, there were three things that Trump asked Zelensky to investigate. And one of them was a company called CrowdStrike, that same company that was the source of the outage on the very same day, 5 years later, when Trump and Zelensky had another phone call. It's kind of bizarre and crazy. Yeah. And there's a lot that still has to be explored there. But Trump had accused that company of, the Democratic National Committee had hired that company in 2016 to investigate the hacking of the DNC servers by the Russians. And so Trump had questions for Zelensky about it. The company is founded by a guy who's born in Moscow, but has lived in the U.S. since the 90s. Anyway, so lots of swirling things on that topic. And then another sort of surprising thing was, Boris Johnson, former prime minister of the U.K., who's really well-loved in Ukraine. I mean, if you go to a gas station in Donbass, you can see cookies with his face on it, because he was one of the strong voices for Ukraine in the very beginning of the full-scale invasion. So he's well-loved here, but he met with Trump, and he posted online that he was, urging that he was confident that Trump, if elected, would stand for Ukraine. But then afterward, former Prime Minister Johnson came out with this statement that has puzzled many here. He said that together with Trump, they're coming up with the beginnings of what could be a peace plan. And he said, go back to the situation before February 24th, 2022. No talk about what might happen with Crimea. But even more than that, he said, in a way to let Russia save face, that Ukraine would have to agree to institute Russian language protections for people who speak Russian. And this is weird because, Russian speakers have never been oppressed here, even in the war. I mean, you go to a city like Odessa, people speak Russian. Go to Lviv, and, Lviv is, the cultural heart of Ukraine and the Ukrainian language. And even during the Soviet times, and the times of the czars, when the language was illegal, people kept it alive. And so Ukraine in Lviv, they hold that language dear. But there's so many refugees from the east who come to Lviv. And now if you're in the center of Lviv, you hear Russian everywhere. And people kind of quietly complain about it, but they put up with it. And so it's quite the opposite. Russia is the great empire. There's the influence of Russian telegram channels and Russian media has and music before this big war were very strong in Ukraine. And so it's sort of mystifying to people that Boris Johnson and Trump and other, you know, outsiders would say that Ukraine needs to protect the Russian language, when in fact, you know, it is, you know, Ukraine that is facing being wiped off of the map. And there was a very disturbing incident in Lviv on Saturday. You know, there was an assassination of a woman who is has been a very big activist for the Ukrainian language. And she was a professor. She was once a member of parliament. She had a very confrontational style. So she was controversial, but she was people appreciated how she stood for the Ukrainian language. Irina Farina, she was assassinated in cold blood in the streets of Lviv on Saturday. And this is the two things about this. One, in Ukraine, there are very few murders. And I didn't think about this until I saw the news of what happened. But this is the biggest geographical country in Europe. Lviv's got about 1 million people. You know, Kyiv has several million people. There are no murders, unlike Dublin or Paris or London or Chicago or Topeka, Kansas. I mean, it is, even though people are armed now, even, you know, it is a very uncommon thing here. And so on that level, it has people shocked. But the fact that this, you know, in that deeply Ukrainian language city of Lviv, one of the top Ukrainian language activists was assassinated, is disturbing lots of people. Thousands of people poured into the center of Lviv for her funeral at the Church of St. Peter's and Paul. And this, you know, and then that, this coming the day after Boris Johnson suggesting that Ukraine needs to protect Russian speakers when you know, they seem to have all the protections they need. That has a lot of people asking questions here.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. We get so much information from you that we don't normally get on the news, Joseph. We just have a few seconds left, but I do want to get your quick take on a report that President Zelensky the other day struck what has been described as an unusually subdued tone when he addressed the nation and hinted at a willingness to negotiate with Russia for the first time. Now, in the past, you've said you don't think any meaningful negotiations will happen anytime soon. Do you still believe that?
Well, you know, if nothing changes, if the permission doesn't change from Washington for Ukrainians to hit back, it's not looking good. And in fact, you hear this heaviness from so many people. Right now, you have the most stalwart people, whether they're Ukrainians or foreigners, who are still here doing their work. But they all kind of acknowledge that, you know, that everyone here could lose in some sense. And it's a very heavy thing to realize. But there is a sense of abandonment from the West. And there's hope that's why more and more people are hoping for a change in administration. And maybe now we see, you know, it's very important to see who might be Kamala Harris's running mate, or who the Democrats might pick, or what Trump might do about Ukraine. But if something doesn't change, the way it's going is there's a widespread acknowledgement. It's very heavy and bleak.
Interesting. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Thank you, Joseph. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.